Hey everyone, welcome to the Deeper Waters podcast. My name is Brandon and I'm joined by Joel.
Hello.
This just reminder that this podcast will be uploaded every Wednesday afternoon and can be found on Podbean, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Just some quick announcements for you. Real quick, is Thursday Night Hang this week is 7 to 9 again, but it will not be here at the church. It will be at my house. So if you need more information like my address, different things like that, just shoot me a text, email, Instagram DM, whatever you need, I'll respond and get you there. But it'll be fun. We'll be watching the Sweet 16, college basketball, and snacks, games, all the fun stuff. So again, Sunday night, Impact 6 to 8. And then Friday, March 31st, 7 to 10 is retro game night. $5. You can sign up online. Please do so. Bring your friends. Invite them. The point of that is invite your friends to church and have fun, and through that, invite them back to Impact.
I have a question.
What's your question?
If I have a friend who's like, I don't want to go, and then Friday night at 6:45, they go, dude, can I still come to that retro thing? Can they sign up at the retro game night?
Yes, you can sign up at the retro game
night.
Wonderful. But if you know you're going, we prefer you to sign up online.
For food and things of that nature.
Yeah, and the $5 is just so you can have all the snacks that you want and all the whatever those things are called, the foods.
Yeah, the foods. The fake cheese for the nachos.
Mm. The Capri Suns, whatever. I'm not even sure what's on the list. And lastly, just want to shout out real quick our church Easter services. April 8th, that's a Saturday at 5:30. And then the next Sunday, the 9th, we'll have three services, 8:30, 9:45, and 11. So encourage you to, if you have one person who you know is not going to church, invite them. Ask them to come to Easter service, where we get to celebrate the victory that Jesus had on the cross and that we get to have in Jesus. So invite you to that.
Can I share one more announcement that wasn't on there?
Yeah, go for it.
At the end of April, so April 29th and 30th, that weekend, the youth will be leading worship.
Oh, awesome.
That weekend. So the Saturday services and the two Sunday morning services will be youth. So if you're someone who maybe doesn't always go to church on Sundays on the weekends, but you do come to Impact, like that might be a good one to come to. The youth will all be there. If you're looking for youth to sit with, you can reach out to Brandon or I or some of the CIA kids that like to sit together, and you can have people to sit with too. But it's a fun weekend for us to get together, and the youth are going to be leading worship just like an Impact. So you can come and be a part of that too. Maybe bring your parents.
Awesome. And Joel, question right back at you. Song for this week. What are we listening to?
So I've been listening to some old school Hillsong.
Oh yeah.
Some of, when I say old school, I mean songs written before the majority of you were born, or were two. One of the songs that I'm listening to that we're going to be doing this week is called One Way by Hillsong, and the lyrics really just proclaim the idea that, like, there is literally only one way for this life. There's one way to live. There's only one way to have life, and that life is in Jesus. And the words, the lyrics, are a reminder of the truth that we have in Jesus Christ, that we are not alone, and He is our way because He is with us always, and He has made the way for us to have life.
Awesome. Love it. Yeah. Encourage you to listen to the song before. It's a fun song. It's a song I grew up listening to. Like, me, my brothers, and my dad would just, like, blast it in the car going to the grocery store or school or whatever. And it was a ton of fun. Great song, great lyrics. But here's a challenge for you in that. If you come up to Joel or I this week at any point and tell us the band that wrote and produced and plays One Way, so that band is Hillsong United. If you tell us that, you get a free t-shirt. So let us know. We'll get that hooked up for you. Come find us.
And that is only good until we start announcements at 6:10 on Sunday night.
Absolutely, yeah. sermon discussion. Joel, what did we talk about this week? What was kind of the big thing? What did Wilbert talk about?
Wilbert crushed a servant's heart.
Hmm. What does that mean?
Wilbert brought up, like, he had four points. So it was, a servant's heart is four things: putting others ahead of yourself,
yeah,
always, even when they don't deserve it.
Even when they're awful.
Even when they're terrible. Because guess what? We're terrible, even though we think we're not. And Jesus always puts us before himself, which is why he died upon that cross.
Yeah.
So if Jesus is willing to give his life to us, who, by the way, those listening, you were his enemy, as I was his enemy. And yet he said, you know what? For my enemies, I'm even willing to come and die because I want to save them back to becoming my friend.
I have to say, like, the verse, like, how did God show his love for us? Like, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Like, that, like, not even a righteous person would die for their friend.
Right.
And Jesus died. Yep. And his love died for us.
So I loved it. So there was, that was the first point. His second point was humility. You have to be humble because you can't put others above yourself if you think you're better than them. But if you look at them as Jesus looked at us, with compassion and empathy and the desire for them to know God, whether it's someone who doesn't know Jesus or even a brother or sister who does know Jesus who is really struggling, your ability to be Christ to them will stand out by being humble. And that is hard to do. Humility is hard, especially when we live in a culture that says, if you're right, then you stand on your right. And that just does not work with the servant's heart. So humility. The third one was all in. You got to be all in.
Where you at in the pool?
Where you at in the pool?
Bringing it back.
Did you just show up with your swim trunks and your towel, but you never get in the pool? Because there are some of us who do that at Impact. We think just showing up at Impact and being here and wearing the shirt is good enough.
Or you're nervous getting in the pool. You're like, your toe might be getting in, but you don't know what to do with that. Or you might be like the guy looking in the mirror, looking at himself.
Yeah. You know, and this is what I say. Just get in the water. If you have to have 90 flotation devices on just to get in the water, great. Get in the water. Just get in the water. Eventually, you will understand what you're doing, why you're in there, and you'll be able to get more confident in who Jesus is and who you are in Jesus. And eventually, those floaties will come off.
Oh, yeah.
But get in the water.
Well, even if you feel like you're drowning, like, Jesus got you.
Yeah, he got you.
He ain't going to let you fall.
He got you. And honestly, maybe you're just hanging out by the stairs. That's cool. Hang out by the stairs. You know, I think of Selah had swim lessons when she was like 3. Amy won them by guessing how many M&Ms were in a can at the Y. We won free swim lessons for her.
And oh, nice.
Yeah, which was because we were on a tight budget, so it was really fun to get those. And I remember watching her, and they don't start her in the deep end. They literally start her on getting comfortable sitting in the water on the stairs. And then from the stairs, they go a little deeper to standing. And then when they go underwater, they just have to go under the hula hoop and then pop back up. Grab a duck, pop back underneath. Right? Like, it gets you slowly engaged, but you have to just get in the water. And for that's the all in. You just got to get in the water.
That's interesting that Selah was taught how to swim that way, because I think my dad just like picked me up and like just cannonball into the deep end. And
oh no, that's how Selah was taught. Like Amy and I put her in the water, but like watching them as they're like the teachers are teaching them to be like comfortable and acclimated with the water. That's how they do it slowly. Where Amy and I were like, "Nah, you can swim. Let's figure this out."
Well, both work.
Both do work. Both and work. Both work for different personalities.
Yeah,
which and is like, great.
For my personality, it's what's the best way to get in the pool? Jump off the high dive, cannonball into the deep end. Heidi's not that way. She's like, no, I'd just rather take the stairs. I'd rather just walk in, wade into the pool, be nice about it. And both in the pool.
Both in the pool and both with the personality, but you got in the pool. And that's the all-in idea.
Right.
It's not all-in as in underneath cannonballing. It's in the pool. If you jump off the high dive or I wade in, but we're both in the pool, we're in the pool.
Yep.
And that's the idea. All in people aren't those who are like, well, I have my feet in, but I'm sitting on the outside. You're not all in.
Yep.
You're not all in. So that was the third one. And then his fourth one, and now I'm going to butcher it. I'm like trying to envision what it was. Oh, and it's all for God's glory. Mm. So you loving that person, or you putting others before yourselves, humbling yourself, all in. All of that is not for you to be praised, but that Christ would be praised, that God would be the glory. In Matthew, it says, Lord, may they see, may man see my good works, and in so praise then my heavenly Father. It's not about me. It's about I do and live a life for Christ so that they would see Christ in me and want Christ in them.
I think especially with our culture, all about, like, we look at social media, like the postmodern world that we live in.
Which is
me. Like, postmodernism is saying, like, we're past the Christian values, we moved past that, and the post I would say we've moved on to, like, worshiping ourselves.
Oh, 100%. Well, and really we're just right back image. To where we were at the Tower of Babel, but that's fine.
But I say that into being like, our culture trains us, the world trains us to only think about ourselves and what's best for ourselves. Like, if I'm going to do this, what am I going to get out of it? If I'm going to go do this project or I'm going to take this job, what's going to be in it for me? Like, what's the best for me? And by the end of the day, I think we're going to feel really dissatisfied. I think we're going to have a sense of, like, I'm missing something. It's going to feel good at first, but I think at the end of the day, we're going to be missing something in that. And if we can just, like, change our focus, because the world's never going to satisfy, right? So if we shift our focus from worldly, like, perspective to a kingdom mindset of, like, this is all for Jesus, this is all for God's glory, and everything I do, that's going to change. When we hit troubles of this world, when we hit pain of this world, all of it, that's going to change the way we see things. We're doing this all for God's glory.
Right. And that, I was talking to Michaela after church, and we were just discussing the book of John. And if you aren't sure where you should be reading your Bible, and you're just like, I don't even know where to start, so I'm not going to read it, open up your book, the Gospel of John. It goes Matthew, it goes Mark, it goes Luke, there's John. Start in the Gospel of John. If you have questions, we'll chat with you, but start reading. That's a great book. We were just discussing, and I told her, one of my favorite songs is Graves in the Gardens, but a lot of people like it for lots of different reasons, right? I love it because verse 1 is so great. It says, I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. We cling and try to seek man's praise of us. So I'm going to love someone who's against me for the sole purpose that I would get praise then from others. Where our goal should be, man, I'm going to love that person who doesn't deserve love. They ask me and they go, wow, it's so nice that you do that. And then we respond with, well, the only reason I can is because I was loved first by someone who didn't love me. His name is Jesus. Would you like to know more about him? But we don't do that. But that's how simple sharing the gospel is. Even if you just say it like that and they go, oh, okay, and they think you're weird, at least you shared it. It's about Jesus. And that's going to be, you know, one of our things that we have to keep remembering is all that we do has to be in proclaiming Jesus, because this is not our home. Bill Kuhn, right? He's the guy.
Yep.
Bill Kuhn, a couple of weeks ago, he said, one of the greatest deterrents of giving. Now, a lot of times when we think giving in the church, we think of money, but I'm just going to say giving because we were talking about generosity. So whether it's your time, your reputation, whatever, one of the greatest deterrents in giving is the illusion that the earth is our home.
Yeah.
The earth is not our home. This is the thing that ends. We get to go to what will never end. That is our home. And our home isn't heaven. Our home is being with Jesus. Being in the presence of the Jesus Christ who walked the earth, who died, who rose again, who still has holes in his body that show the sacrifice of the Lamb. That is what we're living for. That's what we're going for. That's my race. That's my hope. So if I have to be walked upon on this earth, walked over, I do so all for the glory of God because this isn't my home.
Well, I think, like, when we reach that day, whether we're through death or whatever other means, that will be one of the greatest day of our lives.
Well, and it's funny, like, you know,
we get to embrace the fullness of who God is.
Right. And a lot of times we think, oh, I'm going to get to heaven like I did it. And a lot of y'all, we sing a song called Glory to Glory. And the bridge says, until we reach that day when love conquers everything, we cry an anthem singing holy, holy. Even when we get there and we go, it was worth it. We don't pat ourselves on the back like Kale does. Right, we don't pat as soon as we get there and we realize it was worth it. And why it was worth it? Because of Jesus. And because of Jesus, I cry holy, holy, because it's about God's glory, being all in, humbling myself as Jesus did and putting others. Jesus's life on earth wasn't one that just Jesus lived. It was also Jesus's way of living to tell us, this is how you live. You live as I do because I live as the Father has asked me to. This is the life of those who follow God. Not rule followers, lovers of Jesus.
So the next question goes on to, like, why are we all called to serve? And I think we answered in one of the ways of, like, bringing God's glory. Like, but I want to emphasize in this question, though, the all. Like, why is everybody called to serve? I think one of the reasons is, like, because Joel does things that I cannot do.
100%. And Brandon does things that I cannot do.
And Wilbert does things that I cannot do.
And Andrew does a lot of things that Brandon and I cannot do.
Absolutely. But also, you do things. As a listener, no matter how old you are, you do things that I cannot do, that Joel cannot do, that Daryl cannot do. You do things that nobody else on staff can do. So you are called to serve some sort of purpose within the church. And I'm not just talking about Christ Community Church, within the Big C Church. We're all called to something. We're all given gifts to do something, because we can't expect a foot to do the job of a hand. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. My big toe, no matter how great it is, can never function as my fingers.
Yeah.
And if I tried, y'all laugh.
I think another part of that too is, like, imagine this. And I don't think this will ever happen until Jesus' return in glory and as king. But what if we all served? Everybody. And we didn't make the excuses. We lived by the four things. We did all for God's glory. Gave up that time to serve. Maybe it was 2 hours a week. Whether that's the local church or a local missions organization. Like, we have a church of about 1,000. Right?
Right. Yeah, about 1,000.
And imagine if we had 1,000 people all serving 2 hours a week.
We'd have to turn people away.
We wouldn't turn them away. We just push them to different organizations.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like that's the idea. And, you know, a lot of times in our culture, right, we were talking about, like, what about me? What about me? Well, guess what? If we were all serving, then I know that my needs will be met because someone's going to serve me. And I'm going to be able to serve others. Mm-hmm. But we're so concerned that what if I don't get served? Instead of trusting that God's got you, go serve. And trust me, you will be taken care of. Because God's got a greater plan. You have to look outside of yourself. And we are called to do that. And that's why a lot of you sometimes feel also incomplete in your faith, because you're not living the fullness of your faith out. It requires you to get up and to be a part of the church. Let me say that again. It requires you to get up and to be a part of the church daily.
When I first got here, a lot of y'all, I wouldn't say a lot, a good number of y'all were like, we want to go deeper in the messages. We want deeper messages. And I think it was out of a sense of, yeah, we want to go deeper. We want to know God more. Absolutely. Let's know God more. But I think if we're not, we got to be taking those practical steps. And one of those practical steps is serving. So with that, I'm going to challenge you. Where can you serve? How can you serve? Where do you start? And if you starting by talking to one of us, please come talk to one of us. We'll get you plugged in somewhere, where that's Kid City, with Tech, with Becky, Holding Doors, somewhere in Impact, whatever it is. Like, we'll get you set up, or with a different organization outside of our church. We can get you connected with so many different organizations.
Operation Christmas Child, just as we've been chatting about that, right?
Yeah.
As things are changing inside of that ministry.
Yeah.
There's going to be a need. And maybe you love Christmas and you love putting boxes together. Well, guess what? That doesn't happen in 2 weeks. That's a year-long process.
You got to love Christmas in July.
You got to love Christmas in July.
But as I said, like, you're serving, I think that's going to fulfill the need of like, yeah, this is, I'm walking with Jesus. I'm in step with the Spirit. And it's no longer that just emotional, spiritual mountain high experience, but it's that mental change of being renewal of your mind. Like what Andrew talked about a couple of weeks ago, where we're submitting and being sanctified in who Jesus is.
I just want to say, like, you remember what Joe said at winter camp, perfection is not the mark of a Christian. It's endurance. Mm-hmm. So get up and be a part of this, because guess what? I already know you're not perfect. Brandon knows that I'm not perfect. I know that Brandon's not perfect, right? We know that everyone we're working at is not perfect. We're choosing then to allow God through this process of every day that he is chiseling, right? Or the fancy word, sanctifying, right? As long as I'm engaging in that process, I'm still supposed to be used by God. I don't get to a point of, okay, now I'm chiseled enough. You're never going to be chiseled enough. You just got to be a part of the chiseling process and get up and serve and know that you're going to fail sometimes. Get up and keep going.
Yeah, and I think if you can get into the habit of serving now in high school, that's going to help you out in the long run. And with our final thought, I want to bring up what Wilbert said at the end. When I was taking youth ministry classes, we were looking at these stats. And we're as a whole church. This is not one church. This is a whole church of America, of, you know, 20%, 30% of high school students, when they go off to college, they stay in church. And we looked in the perspective of, like, if this is a school and we're taking a test and 30% of, and we're only getting 20-30% on the test, it's not a good grade. And we talked about that, and there's a lot of things that go into it, and we don't have time for that right now, and that's not the purpose of this podcast. But one thing that we want to talk to you about is serving, and you really owning your faith, and you really owning your relationship with Jesus. And if you want to do that, and you want to go deeper with Jesus, and you want to have that personal relationship with Jesus, and that closeness with him, serve. Take ownership of where you're at. Timothy, like the Timothy that was written to by the Apostle Paul, like was 14, 15 years old and pastoring a church. So I don't want you to think, I'm not old enough yet to go and serve. I'm not old enough yet. I'm not good enough yet. I need to grow in something. No, you can serve. That might look different. You're probably not going to be the pastor of this church. But I want to challenge you in taking those steps to ask the question, hey, where can I serve? Where can I invest into this place? And we want to invite you to do that. Because we really believe that you as a teenager, you're not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of tomorrow, but you're not just the church of tomorrow. You're also the church of today. You're the church of right now. So I want to encourage you and invite you to serve, to step into that and take ownership of this church. If you're someone, I had someone about a month ago come into my office and say, hey, I'm really nervous. I'm going to get to college, and I'm just not going to keep following Jesus. And I said, where are you serving? Where are you stepping in to own your faith? Because if you get into that habit now, when you go off to college, no matter what school it is, party school, Christian school, whatever, if you get into that habit now, you're going to stay with it. if you get in the habit of serving and continue serving wherever you go, whatever church context you get yourself into later. So I want to challenge you in that. Joel, do you have any last thoughts before we get off?
Serving's hard.
Serving is hard.
Please don't think that we're just saying that it's easy. Serving is hard. And I'm not sitting here saying that being a Christian is always feels good as a feeler. But I know that it is true. And because it is true, I can serve when I don't want to. I can serve when I don't feel like it. Because every time I serve, and I promise you this, every time I serve, the Spirit reminds me, see, this is what you were made. To love me and to love others. To know me and to make me known. And we are doing that by serving the Big C Church and those who don't know Christ. We are serving because we serve our Master Jesus, who has called us to serve.
Yes, it is not easy. And Jesus even told us it wasn't going to be easy. It was going to be hard. So we just want to thank you for joining in with us as we talk about serving the church. Thank you for listening to the Deeper Waters podcast. This posted every Wednesday afternoon. And with that, just encourage you to go and be more like Jesus.